Hurricane Irma's monstrous punch is a little weaker, but the storm is still life-threatening. FEMA Administrator Brock Long says the impact of Irma will be devastating.
It's not a question of if Florida is going to be impacted. It's a question of how bad Florida is going to be impacted and where the storm ends up over the next 4 to 5 days as it passes inland.
Long says anybody from Alabama to North Carolina should be watching Irma closely.
The forecast and the direct impacts of this storm have yet to be determined because, one, it's a very powerful storm, but the nature of the curve and that forecast after 72 hours is going to be the key to see who gets the worst impacts here.
Irma is forecast to barrel into Florida as a Category 4 or 5 hurricane late Saturday or early Sunday morning. Hundreds of thousands of people who live in South Florida are heading north under mandatory evacuation orders. The National Capital Region chapter of the Red Cross says it aims to have a group of local volunteers deployed to Florida and the Carolinas in case of heavy damage from Hurricane Irma. Regional Disaster Director Paul Cardin says it's too soon to tell, but they're also worried about a potential impact on the D.C. region.
We're also getting ready to train additional volunteers that are willing to deploy for 2 weeks. So once we know we're safe and secure here, we will be sending those volunteers wherever they're needed on the East Coast.
Cardin says it's entirely possible that Irma could impact the Washington, D.C. area, so they have to be prepared.
We are getting our forces mobilized for a potential landfall or effect here in the National Capital Region.
We tell Marylanders to be prepared all the time.
That's Ed McDonough, Public Information Officer for the Maryland Emergency Management Agency.
There's still a lot that's not known about where this storm might wind up. The most recent predictions may have it going a little west of us, but we always want Marylanders to be prepared. We want them to have a disaster supply kit. We want them to have a family plan. Particularly, family members are at different places during the day. Parents are at work or home. Kids may be at school. Older kids may be off at college. So, you know, how are you going to get together? How are you going to keep in touch with each other if something hits? And we're not just talking hurricanes here, although that's the focus of this time of year. It could be a tornado. It could be a 25-inch winter snowstorm. We always want people to keep in the back of their minds what do they need to do to be prepared. And these storms are a good reminder for us, even if we wind up not getting any direct effects from them.
I know you and I talked in correspondence last week about deployments from certain agencies going to Texas in Harvey relief. Have some of those agencies come back to shore up efforts here?
Well, the Montgomery County Task Force, which again is a task force that FEMA can deploy federally, they have released most of them to come back to Maryland, but there is a hazardous materials component to them that actually has been deployed. I think it's a handful of their employees have been deployed to Alabama for possible future deployment into the worst hit areas down in the southeast. But looking further ahead, and we did not really send that many assets down to Texas. Texas got most of their requests filled from states much closer to them. But one of the decisions we were making a couple of days ago is not to release any additional assets from Maryland or any additional personnel from Maryland down to Florida, South Carolina, or whatever, until we knew what was going to happen with Irma for us. So we're going to reevaluate again over the weekend. We're going to, there will be some more guidance at 5 o'clock on Saturday about the potential track of Irma at that point. We will look at that guidance, and if it tends to go where we think it's going to go now, to the west of us, we then may on Sunday allow some people from Maryland to fill any requests that they might have farther down south, particularly Florida, because the way the track looks now, it looks like Florida is going to be absolutely pummeled from coast to coast.
In case there is a state of emergency that's declared by Governor Hogan, explain to our listeners why states of emergencies are declared and why they're necessary.
Well, the most important reason, the states of emergency really don't affect the average citizen very much. The primary reason the governor will do it is because that's what gives him the legal authority to activate the National Guard within Maryland. So we have to have a state of emergency before he can do that. There are some other administrative things the governor can do and some administrative things some state agencies can do. MDOT can alter some weight of vehicles on certain roads in Maryland if we need to move heavy equipment around and things like that. But the reality of it is, for the average citizen, a state of emergency really doesn't mean that much to them. People may think it means they don't have to work or something like that, and that really isn't what it means. It's really an administrative tool to allow the governor and certain state agencies to be able to do certain things Also, if we were to get a direct hit from a major storm, the governor would have had to declare a state of emergency to then ask for a presidential disaster declaration. So there are many reasons why that may be done, but they really don't affect the average citizen.
Ed McDonald with us on WEAA 88.9. He's the public information officer for the Maryland Emergency Management Agency. And Ed, tell me about your department. What is your department doing in preparation for possible effects of Hurricane Irma on the state of Maryland?
So we have several roles. Our primary role during an event is to coordinate what Maryland state agencies can do to respond to an emergency, and then to coordinate assistance to the counties and Baltimore City. So that is our main role. We don't have a lot of response equipment. We don't go out and remove debris. We don't go out and rescue people. We coordinate the state agencies that have the ability to do that, and we work with the counties. So if certain counties are overwhelmed with an event, we can work with other counties or state agencies to provide support for them. And then also during what we call the sunny day times, days like today where it's beautiful out and we're not getting hit with anything, we work with the public to try and get them to be prepared, you know, so the things I mentioned earlier about having supply kits and having a family plan and things like that. We're always encouraging during good times to make sure people are prepared so that they can be more resilient during the rough times, and perhaps most importantly in this day and age, to be able to help their neighbors. We saw some really heroic stuff, not just from police officers and firefighters, but from just the people in the general public down in the Texas area, getting boats out and going and saving people out of cars and out of their homes and whatnot. So that's what we want people here to be able to do, is once you and your family are okay, then, you know, if you can go out and help other people, because for a really bad incident, it's going to take a while. The first responders are going to be overwhelmed, and so it really is up to us to do what we can to help each other. And all of us would agree that that was one of the most heartwarming things that we saw in Harvey down in Texas, was just people helping people, everyday people helping people.
Ed McDonald with the Maryland Emergency Management Agency, thanks for your time with us on WEAA.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Take care.